All right, we're going to get started. This is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of September 29th, 2011. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mayne?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yeah.
Mr. Fager?
Yeah.
Mr. Lawson?
Here.
Okay, Mr. Gordonberg is not here. So please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Do you want me to do the roll call for you?
Yeah, I can do it.
All right.
Okay.
All right, next up is the adoption of the agenda. I have one additional item on item 12. Item 12, there's an additional leave of absence for Ashley Thompson Robinson from September 19th, 2011 to October 27th, 2011. So we'll just make it 12C. September 19th of this year and then to October 27th of this year. Are there any other additions, deletions to the agenda? Not any of the motion to accept them?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
If we decide that it might make sense to move like an executive session or anything else later on in the meeting, are we able to do that?
Yes,
okay.
We'll just move right here. If it necessitates, we'll just move right in. We'll make a motion in a minute.
So move.
Second. Moving second. Roll call.
Mr. Fraser?
Yes.
Mr. Mayne?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, the folks from Christie tonight.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Tim Canaglia, and I am representing Christie on the media tonight. Pleased, really, to have the opportunity to share with you some of our successes over the past year, and in specific, how we paid attention, close attention to our school climate and school culture than ever before. Before I introduce our presenters, let me just share a quick story of Creekview. We've been in the district now for about 10 years. A big school, 875 kids this year. Which is a huge transition for our fourth graders that come to us. We have them for 2 years and we send them to middle school. We understand clearly that transition is a big transition for our fourth graders, rising fifth graders, and our families that make that transition with kids. And we're strategic in our thinking, and always have been, about how we meet their needs, how we meet their needs coming to us, and how we meet and prepare them for their middle school experience. And for 10 years, we've been thoughtful about that. And we've also been very thoughtful about academic achievement and what we need to do to make sure our kids are ready, prepared, and mastering content. And those things aren't exclusive, and that's what you're going to hear a little bit about tonight. Last year was a low point for Creekview. We missed two of our state standards on the report card. And really, that was kind of a gut check for us. An opportunity for us to do an internal audit of our practices. And I had a core group of teachers come to me and say, well, we've been working on instructional practices for 10 years, and we'll continue to work and evolve in terms of best practices with kids in the classroom. But let's spend some time talking about our culture and how we can recreate our expectations, recreate a place that's safe for kids, a place where both kids and staff want to come on a daily basis. And that's what you're going to hear about tonight. And without question, I believe that our academic success, our kids' academic success, last year, school of excellence, so very proud of that, really has a lot to do with what you're going to hear from our teachers. So with that said, let me introduce Victor Rapazella, Meg Hall, Bethany Bent. I won't introduce the rest of the group, but they're here to either support their teachers or give me a hard time. I'm like,
they can do both, right?
It can always be.
Okay, I am Meg Hall, as Mr. Canaglia said, and I'm going to kick off our little presentation tonight. So, BST stands for Building Support Team, and so that's what our group is. We came together in the spring of 2011, sorry, 2010, and we decided, let's put some ideas on paper, let's get some ideas together that we can kick off the new year with when the teachers come back to start the school year in the fall of 2010. Let's brainstorm and get some ideas together and get rolling so we can create an even better climate and culture. So, as you know, that can often be a puzzle. Yes,
the greatest contribution I've made.
Finally, I get to tell them what to do. So, as you know, that can be a very puzzling situation. So, it takes a lot of teamwork to work together in order to make a building very functional and feel like a great place to be, which Creekview is and continues to be and work on. But we thought, let's look at the staff, morale, how can we build and increase student achievement, how can we ensure emotional safety for the students and the staff, and make it a social place where we can grow and develop and enjoy where we are. So what we thought we needed to do was take time as a staff when we started the new school year to really think about what do we want Creekview to look like, what do we want it to sound like, and what do we want it to feel like, in order to really create a vision, a new vision, not just what we have had in the past, but a new beginning. We thought we needed to take some time to really look at our building vision, what we want it to be, not just what it is. So we went through an initiative and an experience or exercise with the staff, and we brainstormed clearly what we wanted to look like, sound like, and feel like in the building. And as we went through that, the conversations that we had with our with our colleagues, thank you for giving the moment to me to come up with that word, was really to have conversations about what does that mean, okay? So the little posters that you see on the Venn diagram are ideas actually written from the staff as we journey through and work through our vision. These are the words that we came up with. I'll give you a moment just to take a look at that. Is our vision of what we wanted to see to look like, sound like, and feel like. And these words and ideas became what our procedures and our routines and our expectations would be as a staff for the students. What we often try to do at Creekview as well is model what we want to do as a staff before we have the students do it. So we went through the same initiative, the same idea, the same exercise, and in our classrooms, by teams, we talk to the students about what do we want it to look like at Creekview in this classroom and feel like and sound like. Well, sometimes the students will say, well, we want it to feel like it's safe. Well, what does that mean? That means to, in order for it to be safe, I have my space. I have my ability to speak freely, to share my ideas, you know, really flush out what that means. What do we want it to sound like? Well, sometimes students think, oh, we want it to be quiet. Well, we might think at first that's what the teacher wants to hear, but not really, because in the classroom, we want it to sound like whatever the lesson demands, whether that be partner working or a group of students working, or if it's a lot of activity, then it's a noisier level. So with the students, we really dug deep, and we came up with a vision of how we could have a place to really celebrate our learning and feel good and productive about what we do. The bottom picture on the corner is just that our rules for the classroom and the team really come through those conversations. Don't worry, we have to.
I'm particular about it, and like since I speak to you, we're in our 11th year, and I was one of the founding members of Creekview. I was one of those first teachers who came on board when we were trying to blend the elementary mindset with the middle school mindset. And honestly, in the first years, it was difficult because, as you know, there's a big difference between fourth graders coming into fifth grade and fifth graders going to sixth, and as a sixth grade teacher, getting them ready to transition. So it took us a good 3 or 4 years to get over the hurdles, to get through the camp, and to really start going as a staff. And then we got rolling, and like Tim said, the last year or two, we came across some obstacles again. So we thought, well, it's our 10th year, we need to take time to reflect. And really the best place to start is with your staff. We are supposed to lead by example. We're supposed to be some of the role models for our students. So a year ago, we got together with our staff during one of our in-service, and we're still fairly happy together in August. And now we're so positive. And our BSC team had worked together over the summer. You know, we come in and we talk about some things. And so we decided we needed some food to kind of power our school throughout the school year. So we presented some things to our staff members. And as you can see in this slide up here, it was an open choice. And as you see, we gave them stickers. We kept it very simple because we've been off for several weeks. So we kept it very simple. And we go, put stickers to the themes that you think could, one, most reflect what goes on in our building. Two, what the students can relate to. And three, really what we want Pre-Q to represent. So it's kind of hard to see in that slide, but responsibility kind of was the winning focal point of what we wanted to see with our students. And to a lot of people, responsibility means a lot of different things. So we thought it should be one of our themes. So during the in-service, you know, we shared these different themes. As you can see by the survey, certain ones emerged as what we wanted to do. So, Dana, please, thank you. Here were our, the overall theme for the year was respect. And as you know, parents, teachers, educators, people out in the business world, respect means a lot of different things for a lot of different people. And you have to model what respect means to you. So that was like our overall theme for our building. Respect. Respect walking down the hallway. Respect in basic manner. Thank you. Please. Things like that. A lot of things that kids coming into our buildings, especially sixth graders, lack. No fault of their own. So we can't assume that they understand what these things mean. We have to model them and we have to share our expectations. So respect was the overall theme. And then we're like, okay, we have 498. Let's divide it up so we can conquer each one as it goes. And so we thought when these kids come to us, especially as fourth graders, coming into fifth graders, we need to build a community. So we decided that was like our opening theme, building a community across the board. And then as the year would go on, we would, you know, share our expectations with the students, we'd model it as staff, and we'd be like, okay, this is what we expect from you. Let's start seeing that responsibility piece come in. So as we moved into the second 9 weeks, our expectations rose a little bit for our students. We started to hold them more accountable. We started to hold them more responsible. But at the same time, they understood the expectations. We didn't assume they knew what walking in a straight line down the hallway was. We modeled it together. We didn't assume that they understood that, you know, can't save yourself. We need to be safe. You know, you want that done to you. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And a lot of kids being, you know, keys or things like that is commonplace for them. They don't understand you don't deserve to be treated that way. So that's where that responsibility piece came in. And then after the new year comes along, we're into the January and February, our mindset changes a little bit. We're like, okay, we're getting ready for our standardized test. We got to keep motivating kids. You know, the days are short. If they don't go outside for recess, how do we motivate our students to stay on task? So the third 9 weeks, basically, was our motivation piece. We started focusing them on, you know, the end of the year. We're going to be taking this assessment. A lot of cool things going on. We've got to stay focused. Don't forget our expectations. So that motivation piece came along to just remind everybody, because that's when you start to stop. You get in a comfort zone. We had to motivate, re-energize not only our staff, but our students. And then that last 9 weeks, you know, you've got sixth graders now who are excited about the opportunity for sixth grade. We have sixth graders who are getting excited about what's going on at Bunsell and the opportunities that present themselves there. But we still have to understand. We have 800 plus students in our building. We are staff members. And we need to stay focused and we need to finish off. And as we can proudly say, we were able to celebrate because we knew that our students did their best as the year ended. And it shows. You know, we got great reports in July and August. And so, as Tim said, this really help to re-energize our building after being together for 10 years. So those are our themes that we had. And so as we started out the 9 weeks, we thought, well, we need to get to know our kids. So the staff would always model what the activities, what the agenda was for that 9 weeks. And you can see we had these t-shirts, and they were on, you know, big pieces of paper. And basically, each teacher had one of these on their door by the first day of school. So when the students came in, a lot of times, like this one is a picture of Mrs. Dunst's family. And you had to choose a word that represented you, and that she chose integrity. And there were other things on the shirt. So the students saw ours on the door, and they were able to create one themselves and put it on their locker. So not only were they able to share a piece of themselves, it also helped them locate their locker throughout the school year. So this is how we started out to display community. And then we move on to responsibility, and then you see the, you know, the outline of the students. And they had to tell us what were they going to be responsible for. What was one area they personally wanted to work on during the second 9 weeks? And this particular student wanted to, you know, make sure they had their agenda, and they wrote down their daily homework assignment. Sounds simple, but for a lot of kids, that's a huge deal to take accountability for what they did. And then we moved on to motivation. And we chose a train, you know, that little train that could, little engine that could. You're chugging along, you're reaching out big hill, you've got to keep going. So we had the students write some words on how to stay motivated. What was one thing that motivated them? It's one thing to say, hey, I'll give you a piece of candy. But maybe they don't want that. What intrinsically motivated them? So that was one thing they put on there. And then the last 9 weeks, we're like, you guys have done awesome. We've grown, we've matured, we've accomplished what we wanted to do. We're celebrating our new community at Creekview, and we wanted to finish strong. So we said, what's the goal you want to work on those last 9 weeks? And this particular student wanted to stay focused. Which is huge. When you're the last 9 weeks, April and May, whether you're a fifth or sixth grade student, staying focused is huge.
Because I'm not sure we taught the student how to self-focus properly.
There was no self-talk involved. That's how we worked with that. And then moving on to what we have this year, we met again, our BSC team, and we're like, you know what? Should we change this? You know, change is good. So we're like, you know, we just started this. We have a group of fifth graders who just started working with, so moving into sixth grade. Let's keep some things consistent. Let's see if we can see their growth from fifth to sixth grade. So we kept our themes the same, but we decided to change up how we represented those themes. So for the first 9 weeks, to show community or kind of individualness as they came in, was a new tenant. Like on a big baseball team, the tennis are awesome. So this one in particular had a name and a word to describe themselves again. And this was a Mrs. Popcorn, she's helpful. They had a goal at the top, a basic goal. I want to make sure I read more or something. And then some other things to describe themselves. And these went on the lockers this quarter. So it was another way for the students to share just a piece of themselves. And not only could their classmates go and read the lockers, we went and read the lockers. So it's difficult to get to know each and every student, but if you take 5 minutes to read a few lockers as you're walking down the hallway, you're like, oh, so-and-so likes this. Oh, this is what they want to do. So you can come up and talk to them later. So it was also a great conversation piece. So you see the teachers modeled it, and then the students. The teachers did it, and the students modeled it on the right-hand side. So they always had a place to go and refer to it. And then the other thing we decided to do, since we were really excited about our community, was we decided to do a quiz. So the teachers, during one of our in-service days, they were luckily all lined up as like the football shirt. And as you notice, each teacher made an individual quilt, very basic. It was their name, I think it was their favorite food, something they enjoyed doing, and it just told a little bit about themselves. And this happened to be the one that posted in the sixth grade hallway. And we had it up the night the parents came in. So they could actually associate a name with the face. It wasn't just a name on a board. So they could see, and we tried to color them according to what theme we were on, but our teachers were struggling a little bit with the color concept because not quite what it's supposed to be. But we made this as a staff. There's one in the fifth grade, there's one in the sixth grade, and then we also have our common staff, our unified arts, our cooks. We included everybody in the building, and that hangs up in the commons. And then we took this to the kids. And, you know, at Creekview we have teams, you know, and there's 80 to 100 kids per team. So each, like, homeroom made their own quilt. And some students brought in photos of themselves, others drew their self-portrait. But each hallway, you will go and you will see two quilts. And it's a way to bring everybody together again as a community. And it's kind of like you put a blanket. You know, growing up, maybe you had a favorite blanket or a blanket or something that it was your comfort point. And this is a way for the kids to express their individuality, but yet be seen as a whole. So this is where we're at right now in the first 9 weeks. We're at our community building stage again, and we're working with our sixth graders who've gone through it once, and I haven't had a sixth grader yet to say, you did this last year. They've grown, they've matured, it's something different, but yet they still own it. So that's kind of where we're at right now, and we're getting ready for the second 9 weeks,
you know, when October's over, and we're going to go on from there.
I'm Bethany Betts, and just jump off of what they said. Big thing we do at Creekview is we teach, remodel, and then we implement. Building community is huge, and building community for us is CIS News. This is an opportunity for us and students, the student newspaper that we developed, and we were able to spotlight and celebrate our different happenings that were occurring throughout the school year. So this is something student council, fifth grade data section, sixth grade data section, and then student council data section. Going along with our PEEP implement model, you know, we have our themes. And if you walk into Creekview today, if you look at our pillars, the strong pillars that hold up our common, and there are words of responsibility, of finish strong, our community building, to remind the students every day of what our themes are under the umbrella of respect, how we need to teach each other and treat each other, and how we expect. Well, as Chris has said, they need to be able to talk that, to understand. So they need to understand a purpose, too. Kids want a purpose. They want to know, why is it that we're doing these activities? Why is it I teach natural science? Why is it that I need to know how to do multiplication? Or I need to know what is going on with Atlanta? So the same thing goes with our foundation. So we had Creekview, and we have a staff. And we got together, and those first couple days, and we were implementing all of our DSP initiatives, we had an unknown creature. We had potatoes and different things, right? And we had to communicate. Only one person had to see that creature. And through the communication process, were you able to create this creature? And it taught really about respect, listening, active listening, both communicating and listening, and being able to create this, to see how many could come up with the creature, which is on our right-hand side there, that was able to be developed.
Which one?
And like I said, we constantly are then taking it one step further, and we are having our students complete the same activities, giving them purpose, making them understand why is it important to communicate and communicate well. What are the aspects of the communication, and what are the consequences of not being able to communicate? Because without communication in the classroom, we are unable to be successful. This year, we did not just feature, but instead, we went and we did balloon features. The kids were given a bag of balloons, and they were given a roll of masking tape. And they had to collaborate. Collaboration is huge in everything we do. Not only as students at 10, 11 years old, but as adults, we must collaborate to have success. So we need to teach that. We need to model that for the kids. We need to start at 10 years old so they understand that process as they become an adult. So they're working together. Randomly grouped them, and it was so exciting to see the pride that they came up with. They came up with backpacks. They came up with hats. They came up with caterpillars. It was amazing to see what these students came up with and the pride that we want them to see. Because part of creating quality work is taking pride in your work. And that's one thing we do encourage at Creekview. Working together. We must work together to create a safe, fun, and social environment. Here's an activity we did. Some may call it Frogger. Some may call it Rocking the River. They were given file folders. They had to go from one end of the pathway to the other. And they all had to cross. And they had to work together. And they had to think of ways, because if they left their lily pad untouched, it flew away. And they got stuck. And we didn't want to leave anybody behind. And the big thing about all these activities is after we completed them, we debriefed them. We sat down, what did you think? What did you learn? How did you feel that you were left in the middle of the river? Now, what does that make sure? Okay, so what can we do? How can we make sure that everybody together crosses that river? We have to work together to create a community to have success and to make it work. And, yes, indeed, as a staff, once again, we modeled it. And if you ever come to speak to you during one of our wonderful interest days, you will see that we like running competition. It was a matter of who was going to get there and who was going to cross the river fast enough. But we also had a debrief because through that process, we had some left in the river. So we needed to come back together and we needed to bring everybody across the river.
Larry, after this competition, will you let all the workers compensate?
And finally, at Creek View, we always like, once again, that kind of thing of working together and being social and getting to know each other on a different level. We want to get to know the students on a different level other than a student. We want them to see us other than that teacher. We want to be a team. We often call ourselves families. You know, what the boys and girls that come to our classroom, oftentimes, they're with us more away hours than they are at home. And we have many backgrounds coming to us, and it's important that we all come together, we work together, and we were able to celebrate and have fun making pizzas and fruit salads and salads and all that.
Okay, we are motivated by food, as you can see. We're coming to a wrap up here. But, you know, at the end of the year, at the end of the goal, really student achievement is something that we take a lot of pride in, that we work towards. That is our main goal in education, to create lifelong learners and to be motivated. So we had to get up for those OAAs. So we came up with a bunch of activities last year that could keep those students motivated and ready to finish strong so we could celebrate. These are some initiatives that we came up to try to have them do their best for their tests. We had the students set some goals on their past OAA tests, see where they were last year. What would you like to hit this year? You know, if you were proficient, would you like to be able to hit advanced and just be aware of that? Our parents at Christy wrote notes to each student. And so, sitting on the desk the first day of the OAA, they got a nice friendly letter from their parents, or someone from home, or from school. We have candygrams, little smarty bags, because we know our students are so smart, so with little good luck stickers on them. We didn't receive one of those as a pick-me-up. We had a pep rally, where we had our youth smarter than the average fifth grader. Mr. Crowley and Mrs. Wells were our hosts for that activity, an assembly in the gym. And the students and the teachers got to answer some OAA test type questions.
So smarty bags to you, huh? It wouldn't let me.
We had a drawing once a week as students completed activities that were OAA test prep type things. They got to put a little ticket in a basket, drink. Names got drawn and called over the PA, and they were spotlighted. We had gums and mints to keep our senses alive and just to keep us calm the day of the test. Kids love that. We also were provided with granola bars, or yogurt, and breakfast bars. Each morning we tried to just have a little bit of something as they walked in to keep them up and going. So after all the tests, if they were working hard through all the tests, which they all were, we celebrated with ice cream sundaes. And as you know, we did finish strong, and we are proud to celebrate. Creekview Intermediate did pass all parts of the OAA. We did meet AYP, and we got an excellent on the report card. Marysville Schools, excellent with distinction. We're proud and honored to be part of the system. And as the new year begins, we know our job is to start all over again. So we'd like to thank you for this opportunity to present to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great. I know a year, well, 2 years ago was really kind of, you know, when the fifth grade ratings came out, it was kind of a pretty much a crossroad point, I know, for at least a lot of you fifth grade folks. You know, I think it's just, you know, it's an example of how you rise up to that. You know, you can either be beaten down by it or rise up from it. And you folks obviously did a great deal of work.
Yeah.
And sure. Commended for all, I mean, all, you know, all of those folks.
We appreciate it. So what you're seeing really is shared leadership, empowered teachers that can and are able to
affect school culture. So we certainly appreciate that. You heard about all of these preconditions that really set the tone for teaching and learning. And we're doing it. Thank you guys for presenting. You know, we feel like, and we're always striving to be better, we have a culture of kindness. We have a culture of compassion. We talk about expectations. What we didn't always talk about today was, you know, what happens when some of our kids deviate from these expectations? And how do we manage them? And boy, we still use kindness and compassion to deliver the messages that we have to deliver. And our job is just like we do at home with our own kids, deliver these messages, motivate and inspire, forgive and move forward. So, you know, I think our kids really have benefited from this. Teachers, I thought you did an outstanding job, and thank you.
No, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, you ladies can stay or you feel free to go if you'd like. But is John here?
John is. Well,
next up on our agenda is after the superintendent's evaluation process. Not his evaluation per se. Oh, yes, thank you, Julia. If anybody would like to address the board tonight, there's a form up here we'd ask you to fill out, please, so that if you need a pen.
Thank you.
As soon as our Bassett guy gets in here, we will. Rough drive up here, John?
Yeah. But I want you to know, somebody that has on this board, one gentleman that has a teenage son over by Linden Elementary. Any blues over there? That direction?
Left on all daughters.
All daughters.
All daughters. Never mind.
This is Don Thomas in.
Yeah, so wherever you're comfortable.
What we've been participating in this year, and John is a retired superintendent, and this is what retired superintendent.
8 years,
I get it off next month. There's a certain amount of beating in the profession. But what we've gone through this year is the superintendent evaluation pilot. You have received, well, a year ago you received my goals.
Correct.
You received in mid-August the goals and the summary and the evidence from going through that pilot. What John would like to step you through tonight really is what's next, the summation, and then go kind of summarize the summation. They're kind of set them through, John, if you would, the final, I guess, product that would come out of this
can
product.
You send your report to them on the form that is in the package and you send it
out? Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Does that look familiar?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I've seen it, but that's not the form I've got. The step that you're at right now at the board is to do the summative evaluation of the superintendent's performance for the past year. And that performance is based on the reports and the evidence you've been given. So you take a look at that information, and then you do two things. One, you each individually write down your reactions to that information. So you will go away, look at it, and then write down your reactions to what you see there. And then you will come back and go over that with Mr. Gentleman, face-to-face with him and describe your reactions to him, both individually and collectively. Board president would then summarize that information on a summary sheet because the board needs to speak with one voice. And so by that I mean, if there's a collective thought here, that's what needs to be recorded for the evaluation. It might be individuals that have different attitudes or reactions to what they read, but the goal is to come up with one collective thought.
So, So should we do that before we sit down with him or after we sit down with him? I mean, do we go away and then we kind of summarize our thoughts? Typically in the past when we've done our reviews, what we'll do is everybody will kind of, you know, send all their thoughts to the board president and I'll summarize it. And then we sit down and talk as a group to make sure that represents our, you know, our one thought. And then we sit down with Larry to do that. Is that the same process or is it,
you know,
so we should do it
then? Did you use ranking numbers in the past?
Yes.
Okay. That there's a real desire to get away from the ranking numbers.
Yes.
And use language like excellent or exemplary for the highest level of accomplishment.
Like exemplary, proficient, progressing, and not meeting
standards. Those kinds of pieces of language are the kinds of things that they're hoping that you'll use. And if that conversation with the superintendent talks about those things, then if there's a goal or an objective that hasn't quite been met, say if it's proficient and you want it to be exemplary, instead of that being terminal, you would say, let's roll that over and make that a continuing objective for this school year. So you would make it, try and get it to where you want it to be.
Okay.
Much like you've done with your students, I come in and see you know, excellent with distinction. I guess it was like Delaware, you might not have been there at one point. I was superintendent in Delaware, City Schools. When I got there was an academic watch.
Mm-hmm.
They're now excellent with distinction. So that if you don't get there overnight, and you do that by recycling things that are working and keep working on them and abandoning things that aren't working. And that's what the hope is here, that you'll look at the things that are being done, the evidence of what's going on, and you'll recycle the things that are working and get them to go to that exemplary level. And things that are not working the way you'd like them to do, you might abandon those and substitute other things in their place. I don't know if that makes sense, but the superintendent's standards that were developed a couple of years ago were the basis for this evaluation, just like the standards for children and the standards for teachers and the standards for principals. They're all tied into the same thing in the process that the state is hoping every board will start to learn to use, is the same kind of process of redoing and recycling things to get work toward continuous improvement.
So when we sit down with these are really based on, I mean, our comments should be directed directly at these. You know, we've set up three goals for him this last year, and obviously he's got some, you know, some sub items in there. So we should direct those at some or all of those. I mean, not, hey, I don't like the way he parks his car, or, you know what I mean? I mean, that's not part of this evaluation. This is performance.
And what you just said to me, if there's sub objectives in there at some point,
yes,
you might find some of those pieces being done at the exemplary level, and some being done at the proficient level, and some not meeting the standard.
It's
possible that there are multiple steps in there to reflect multiple kinds of progress being made. And there may be reasons why those things happen. That's part of the discussion. It's meant to be a very informative process for the superintendent and for the board. And by having that kind of conversation, the goal is for it to be a very rich and very rewarding product that comes out of that, which means a deeper understanding for everybody involved in this process of what's working and what needs to be continued to be worked on.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does mean, yeah. Okay, and then when we're done with that, this pretty much becomes this, you know, this goes in this file and it's...
And this is not a requirement, but I can tell you that the people that put the program together are hoping that the summary will be done on a form that's a summary sheet in...
That one?
Nope, the next one behind that. There's one behind that that's a summary sheet.
That one?
Yep. And that becomes the final document that goes in the personnel file. And the hope is that we'll get a copy of that electronic.
Yeah, I give you that one. You can just write out that sample on it.
Okay. Well, again, like, the purpose of going through the process is number one, I think the process makes a lot of sense. It's what we were getting, moving towards from an administrative standpoint anyway. For administrators, we're looking at it and actually modeling it from a teacher evaluation process. So we wanted to get a year through the process, get everybody kind of looking at what it is, and then continuing to move it forward. So we're at a point now where, you know, what we need to do is just kind of summarize your reaction to the goals and the evidence that I've submitted, and then
we'll sit down with you and finalize.
Go from there. Correct.
Right.
And then I need to report them back to John for part of the pilot process also.
And again, we kind of got a little bit off schedule. You know, we were supposed to
be back.
Well, we got, and then just as we were trying to get into our summary, you know, unfortunately, you know, this.
You may need to know that all the other districts we're working with right now are off the same schedule that you're off on. I'm just now coming to closure with all four districts.
Okay.
Everybody has, one of the big things we didn't anticipate, people put the timeline together, didn't anticipate that the reporting of data back to the school system doesn't occur in June.
Right.
The final sorting through of all that information often doesn't come until August.
Correct.
Or early September. Mm-hmm. So, in many cases, boards don't have the information that is built in most of these reviews do the review appropriately.
Yeah, so it almost seems makes sense that just to move that schedule to start with, you know, to actually start your goal.
There's pilot. Mm-hmm. And you were in the first year pilot, and this is one of the biggest learnings you've come up with from this first year.
Right.
The school boards I'm working with for this coming year, if I got to clear that up front, and all the timelines are being adjusted from the beginning. So it's a matter of, we all want to learn about how to go about this, because it's not going to be released for the rest of the state for the technical pilot
development. Right. Now, we went ahead, and Larry went ahead, and we kind of talked about it at our retreat. We've already set our goals for this year. And I know we've had the opportunity to have everyone kind of look at them and make any comments or modifications to those. I guess we were kind of hoping to maybe agree on those tonight. What is your recommendation? Do we wait, or do we, wait till, because we'll do our summation next month when we're ready to go.
I was going to say on that, if you don't mind jumping in on my thoughts on that, but it seems, if you talk about the summation process, I think we've learned a lot about how the last poll worked out and where you might have, not honed in on the things we're really trying to hone in on. So.
That's why I asked. All right. Well, I mean, if you guys want to wait until then, after our summation, then
I think we have to. In order for it to follow the process that Tom talked about, and that is the continuous improvement, taking those things and moving them up and around and morphing them.
Yeah, and what you have is kind of what we've done administratively. We've taken the goals, my goals, district goals,
right,
and did it from our vision of what we felt, where we felt we needed to move certain items and which ones we needed to ratchet up and which ones we didn't get as much done as what we thought, and then what's it going to look like reconditioned as we move them forward. So that's what is from several meetings administratively, and then the language kind of tells that. So.
Okay. Do you have it in this form?
I do. Do I have it? What?
Yours. No, last year's in this form, so that we can fill out our comments and then fill out our. Or you can send me the document. Okay.
We kind of revamped, kind of did the form to us.
Okay. Well, there's really no, but there's no place on there for comments on the forms you sent to us.
There's a back. We can do it in a form that.
Well, we just need a place that we can, so I can make a direct comment on this thing.
Yeah,
that's
easy enough.
Okay.
That's fine. We can do that.
Yeah, I mean, we can use any documents we want. I'm just saying, make comments on each one of the sub items if I so choose.
Yeah.
I'm very wordy, so.
Sure.
I know.
If you get to the thought, if you can transpose the information on the form you're talking about, that is a dynamic form, which means if you do want to have a lot to say, and you put it in the box,
the box expands
to meet the needs of what you hire.
Oh, we're going to need a bigger box, I promise.
Well, the box will get bigger.
So the expectation that we will complete this next month?
Yeah, so we need to have your, we're going to send those forms out to us and then have your comments ready, have the comments into me, like we did for Sumi's. Have them into me, I'll summarize them, and then I'll send them back out, and we'll be ready to go. For
you all have what I sent out August 18th.
Yeah. Evidence.
Evidence, all that, right?
Okay. And we will make sure that's on the agenda for next month. Agenda. Keeper. That's really all we needed. Thank you. Be careful on the way home.
I have a driver out there. Take a picture of me.
You doing well?
Yeah, I've actually been out for 3 days now. Thank you.
All right, next up on the agenda is the High Point Report.
Well, I think I'm going to try to structure this moving forward. I'll get the first shot at it.
Pilot, if you will.
If I just stumbled on that, it would be a bad structure. The board business, obviously, we approved appropriations last night. Kind of nice that happened the night before, but I don't remember these things. You know, they're in good shape. They have about $7 million in cash. The actual appropriations for this year are actually less than they have been for the last 4 years, so they actually gone down.
Oh.
So I think we're at like 12.7 million dollars is the annual budget, $7 million in that cash in pretty good shape.
Uh-huh.
The inactivities, the other section I'm gonna ask. Basically I had a couple of students from their supply chain management program. Give a presentation to the board. They're basically doing a project, this might be a senior project, and putting on an e-store, an actual real live e-store.
Really?
So yeah, and they went through and did like market analysis, met with all the students to figure out what kind of business, mostly apparel and like skin through your cell phone and stuff like that. And so they kind of met with the students to figure out what they liked, what they didn't like, and they developed a product line based on that input.
Wow.
They're going to manage the inventory costs and track all the, how they're going to, the shipping process, pick up a good shipper, and have it online, and they can all buy.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Get your High Point cell phone. Yeah, man.
Exactly. That's what I was buying. Then something cool, and this I think you'd really enjoy, they're actually getting a virtual welder in.
No way.
Yeah, and they said it has like a, you know, the helmet. I don't know anything about welding, so what you're saying is I'm probably messing all up. But like, it like simulates the bead and simulates the material.
Filler?
Yeah, whatever. But they have it in an open house, and I'll have to get the date for that. But they said that anybody wants to come.
Definitely like to see that.
So.
I got to be a better virtual welder than I am a real welder.
And you can hook up a virtual QA system.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
The cool thing about it is going to save a lot of cost, because as they're trying to pick up, the students are trying to pick up that skill, they don't have to go through the materials.
Yeah, the raw materials.
Yeah.
Or the fumes.
Or you have the mistakes. upcoming events is going to be another thing I'm going to try to do a better job of. The two that I have is they have a Taste of the Future on November 17th, where they bring in like local restaurants. To provide food, and then it gives students an opportunity to kind of explore the different pathways that they have there. They call them learning pathways.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll also have college reps there to talk to them about financial aid and options programs.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. And then the other event is kind of a boring event, most of you guys might be interested.
Yeah.
October 19th, the board's having our work session on the 5-year forecast.
That does sound exciting.
I know. and pretty much it. I have another category I'm working on.
All right. All right. Very good. That's a lot of stuff going on up there. Thank you. All right. Next up, the legislative report.
I don't have much.
I was just trying
to see what the schedule is. There is. I could not find a schedule for the House Education Committee. The Senate is meeting on October 4th for two bills pertaining to, actually health bills pertaining to dyslexia and dyslexia education. And they're both will be second hearing opponent testimony. But I think last week they still had more testimony in health education on House Bill 136.
Is that still in committee or did it come out?
I think it came out.
How did that go? I was invited, but I wasn't able to make it.
Well, I think it went pretty well. Health Care 136 basically is a voucher program that would allow for the $5,700 that all students are supposed to get in State of Ohio. We don't get $5,700. We get, I think, $2,600 for students here in Marysville. But $5,700 is the state share. And that $5,700 would follow the kids whether they went to a public school or whether they went to a private school. And then the parents could take that with them. The issue is, I think, beyond finances, you know, $5,700 would come off the top. You wouldn't see it. It would just be automatically deducted. And so public schools would get that deduction automatically, whether you can afford it or not. For us, it's probably in the neighborhood of, $3 million deduction, estimated is what it would be. The issue for me is really one of fairness. Private schools don't have to take all kids. Public schools do. Private schools can keep kids for a while, and if kids act up or whatever, they can be dismissed, and they have to come back to a public school. My issue is just that. Until everybody has to take everybody, that $5,700 should not automatically flow.
Because it doesn't move then again with the child, correct?
It moves with the child.
So if they came back to the public school?
If they came back after October,
it wouldn't, would it?
You'd get no money at all back into the public school. So because we only get you get funded for who's in the seat first week of October.
And $2,600.
At $2,600. We get $2,600, not $5,700. But you would pay out $5,700. Even though you got in $2,600, you pay out
$5,700.
No,
but it sounds like a federal program.
That's the way it's done now with charter schools and open enrollment and those things. You pay out more than what you get in for those kids. That's my issue. My issue is one. Financially, it would be devastating. But fairness-wise, until private schools have to take everybody, and public schools do, I don't think it's fair for those dollars to go, to flow, and they're not, they don't have to meet state testing requirements, any of the federal, no child left behind requirements, any of those kinds of things, as public schools do.
Well, you don't want to have oversight of the taxpayer. You have no oversight.
It all becomes private dollars. You have no requirements on teacher quality, whereas we have to, on the public side, you have to have highly qualified teachers and verify that your teachers are highly qualified. There are no highly qualified requirements on the private side. So again, those are my talking points when I talk to folks about it. It's one of fairness. The finances. I mean, I can argue, and honestly, I always think I think there is an issue. If you go to a private school and your local pastors go to your public school, I think that's, to me, that's always been an argument. I understand that and I see it. But the issue that I have is people have choice there along those lines, and that's the way it's always been, and there's been kind of a separation there, and different rules have been developed over time, and until those rules become all-inclusive, I think you have two different playing fields being laid out there that maybe doesn't play out so well for the public. Because you don't, from a public school standpoint, you don't have draft choices. You're required to have everyone. You know, most private schools do not take IEP kids. They do not. Will not. If a student gets an IEP and is tested and has an IEP, that student comes back to the public school. Because private schools don't have special education programs. But we've had students return for a variety of reasons. It could be disciplinary reasons. It could be we've had kids tardy, truants, where they've been dismissed from the project and required to return to us. And we have the same issues. And we can't put them out. So those are my issues with House Bill 136.
Okay.
But I think the meeting yesterday went well. We met both with our state senator and our state rep and a host of everybody else.
What else you got?
That's it?
That's it.
Alright. Alright, next up is public participation, our favorite part of the meeting. Juliet.
I was curious about what's going on for superintendent search, and I know you've had your meeting. Wanted to know what kind of feedback you'll be getting from the information and data you're getting of concerns. And
we had a last meeting last night, and so we're going to have a board meeting on the 10th to come together and start to build our profile based on some of that input. That they've built those profiles from those meetings.
Okay.
So that's, they're still collecting that feedback. So. Okay.
No,
not at all. As a matter of fact, I think we had four people there for our open meeting last night.
Right, and somebody, we're going to try to get more speakers together, so I think we have some teacher and staff meetings, so we're going to try to push more involvement to try to help with that part, too.
I had four people last night.
We tried once, and we're going to go around two and try to round up some more,
okay.
But, we want to make sure we pull that tweet with somebody that we
All right. Well, like I said, we'll be meeting on the 10th to build our board profile.
Is there an online version of that, or is it? I mean, you can only fill those surveys out sitting at the office.
Yeah, at the meeting.
I've heard a misunderstanding about that, so I just want to make sure.
Yes. Yes.
Cool. Okay.
And in fact, speaking of that, I'm going to go on a tangent. Yeah. Do you have one in front of you? You need to have that filled out for our meeting on the 10th.
Okay. Is that an open meeting?
They're all open meetings.
Well, I'll take sure it's open
meeting. All right, next up is Nikki Burnworth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell you right now, in public session, I'm not going to let you talk about individual students, nor am I going to let you talk about individual staff members.
Okay.
Okay.
My question is where is the, I know we don't have statute law for the voting, and I'm curious as to where you guys stand with making a law, with getting a law passed. There's several parents that are very upset with this. They want to know what's going on with these students that were bullying this child. I think we all have the right to know if our students are safe in school.
I'm gonna put that to you. I'm gonna Yeah, I believe our students are safe and so on. At least we have bullying policies and our board policies. That's what I'm going to update our one tonight for dating by.
We'd like specifics on the bullying policy.
You want to see our bullying policy?
Yes, we'd like to see that.
Mm-hmm. It's on the web?
Yeah. On board policy. I've read it in the high school handbook and it was very vague. And I would like to know what the specifics are about bullying.
Also, from our understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, the three bullies were not punished.
That is not correct.
That is not correct. They were punished. Were they expelled? Were
they
suspended?
They were different.
Can I?
No. Those students have rights, and I can't discuss the discipline. I can discuss that they were disciplined.
Were they disciplined immediately after the incident, or was there a time between the incident and the discipline? What's your name? I'm sorry, Sharon. They were disciplined after information was gathered, and then they were sorted out what it was and what it wasn't, and then they were disciplined.
Specific policy for what, you know, was there something that we conformed to with based on what it was that defined the punishment, and or is that some more of a kind of judgment call?
That's a judgment call. That's the reason why you have the administrators, and that's the reason why you look at all different aspects and all the kinds of different things that are going.
I mean, I'm not sure how you could possibly write a policy for every possible.
I was kind of tying it into the question about bullying.
To be very honest, it's even very difficult to define bullying. Because bullying has, as really is unfolding, as this whole bullying, you know, argument and discussion goes on nationally, what isn't and what isn't. It really is a lot of different things for a lot of different people. And that's the tough part, because you have to break it down. Is there an intent? You know, is the bullying, has it occurred? Is there an intent to hurt? Or is it horseplay that's gone on? There's a whole series of things you really have to sort out. And I really think, you know, and again, you know, we can all be money going quarterbacks about a lot of things, but I think from the school district has done a great job over the years of looking at what it is and what it isn't and being able to sort it out and make sure kids learn from whatever it is. But there's not a person in this room that hasn't done something wrong. And the issue, as I meet with kids around this table, is whether I'm suspending them or whether I'm expelling them or whatever. My discussion with them is about what they did. But my major discussion is, what are you going to do next?
Right.
Because that tells me the most about the character of kids. What are you going to do when you're in this situation again? And they described that to me. We have very few repeat kids. You know, once they... You know, again, as I've looked at this issue and know the issue and as examined the issue, and we've challenged ourselves whether, you know, should we have done something different? Should we have done this with this? I think our loss of thinking what more could we have done and what would we have done differently. Because the issue is, kids learned something from this, and that is our issue at this point. And that's what we are. We're a teaching institution that wants kids, as we work with parents and kids, to learn.
To learn from it, and not necessarily these three specific bullies, but the next bullies.
Yeah.
Most parents haven't even heard about this, and most bullies have not heard of this. and I want to know that there is some sort of announcement that the next set of bullies are going to think twice before they do something like this. I want to know that they know that there was some sort of punishment. There is punishment. Nobody here knows anything about it.
And again,
it's too hush hush.
It's not hush hush. It's kids have privacy. It's a federal law.
Well, it wasn't a privacy
but
that they were that this child was bullied, but it is a privacy that the punishment.
It's a privacy that the kids were bullied. Actually, the incident in the currency that is a privacy issue.
It was.
Well,
but
it
whether,
is,
okay, but
from us,
from you, it was.
From us, it is exclusively.
But I don't understand why the punishment is not.
What do you want to know about it?
I
want to
know how they were punished.
That is not yours to know. That's between the child and us and the parents.
I understand, but those
kids know that they were punished, and all when we deal with the kids along these lines, we're not accepting this, and we nor will we accept this type of behavior.
And I think the bullies should know that.
All kids. I deal with these things and have dealt with these things for 40 years that I've been in this, in this career. Some of the very first things I dealt with when I came to Marysville were bullying issues. Times have changed. Things get called differently. Some of the things that were done back then would have been dismissed as horseplay that are taken a heck of a lot more seriously today. It's the sign of the times. A lot of things start out as horseplay and then get stupid. Again, that's probably a bad definition, but that's my best definition. Kids have stupid attacks, just like parents do, just like adults do. And if you could sort all those out, we would go on a circuit and make millions of dollars. Because kids will always make choices and make tough choices. And again, sorting out bullying, what is and what isn't, it's not all straightforward. Because what starts as horseplay may end up being seen as somebody's bullying situation. And it was nothing more than kids goofing around. I'm not saying it was or wasn't, but that's sometimes what occurs. We don't deal with it. We don't like it. It's nipped. When we see it, I deal with it all the time. The administrators deal with it all the time.
What about preventative?
Well, preventative is a lot of different things. I think you heard Christine talk about it tonight. The elementaries talk about character ed all the time. The high school is working on a huge set of character ed situations again this year. We have some speakers coming in and doing those kinds of things.
Some
of this has to start at home.
Can we use this for something for Brentville to start?
Sure, absolutely. Really, we have very few issues at Brentville. Really, we just don't. Well,
Yeah. One thing I'll say is she didn't mention private. It's not private. In the middle school, every kid knows those three boys have been harassed, and that's why it has to be private. Those three boys, the punishment has not been the crime. It was an awful thing they did, but they were not bullying. They were not kids that were like constantly doing something. They were kids that were really, really stupid on the day. Really stupid. But
I mean, they're having...
It's like the child that they bully. It's almost like a lifetime.
I absolutely agree with you.
The
problem is that bullies are kids, too. You know, that's the problem. For us, I understand, I agree with you, but for us, it's not a matter of punishment. It's not a retribution. It's not our job to make sure somebody feels pain as a kid.
Right.
It's our job to make sure kids learn. And those three boys, I guarantee you, I'm never going to do anything like that again. They have now been tormented just as much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
no,
well, I understand that.
I think there's also, my name is Vicki, I see the as well, and because this is a very private matter, I don't know what your relationship is with the student, but I talked to a parent today, and what she was under the impression happened was completely not what occurred. So I know there's a lot of rumors going around, and as a parent myself, hearing some of the things that are said, it's scary.
I'll talk to my
mother. But it's good. But there's a lot of rumors going around that are really exaggerated. So I think it's important to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, I talk to the mother directly. I understand. My point is not over this specific incident. My is over presented.
Yeah,
like, and I just think that unfortunately, I don't know if we'll ever be able to stop everything, but I do think we do a whole lot. The problem is that if you look at research, it's very hard to stop bullies. It is.
But I think rumors have been going on. Parents are not hearing that there was punishment, and so it is causing a backlash. And I think if we get something in place that we can say, you know, look, that we are not going to accept this, you know, which you obviously are doing, then we can hear about it, and then we can rest assured that our students are not going to be bullies, and they're not going to be bullies. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get something.
That's the goal.
That is the goal. That's what I'm
saying. Absolutely the goal. And that's what we want from kids. Kids need to be responsible. Kids need to take care of themselves. We can't manage those kids. Those kids are out of your sight on a daily basis or out of our sight on a daily basis. What we want them to do is, when they're out of sight, what they've been taught to do. And we know human nature itself. That won't always happen.
Yeah,
unfortunately, it won't. But the intent is that. You know, I'm a dad. I'm a parent. I don't want kids bullied. I didn't want my kids bullied, and I don't want my kids bullying. The intent is that, as a district. And I think as a district, we do it very well. Because we don't have situations very often, at all.
I was very shocked to hear that we don't have a statute
of
law
in
Ohio.
Well, again,
I don't know.
You know, I think really it would be very difficult to do. Because the definition will be all over the place. And again, I look at a lot of different issues in a year's time, in a career's time. I've seen lots of things with kids. And there are graduations. Something very severe and something less than that can't be called necessarily the same thing. So it's that that we have to deal with. But our goal is to make sure kids learn from messing up. And once they mess up, they shouldn't be held as mess up the rest of their lives either. You know, all of us, again, if any of us in this room can say we haven't ever messed up, hold up your hand. We ought to have the opportunity to move forward and live that life again and regret what you did and hopefully never do it again. That should be our goal as a group of educators.
Another thing is for the children that are bullied. Do they have, like, a group counseling?
We do.
Yeah.
contact them that they can sign up for the girl offer by the guidance counselor. And we do a lot of bullying and telling that because we know the research shows that that's actually the most effective way to use in politics that not fight for themselves, but not just for the resources, but to stand up for themselves, that that's far more effective than. Because unfortunately, some kids that are shrewd, like bullies, who are like repeatedly trying to tear this down, a lot of it is very, very difficult for anybody to truly change their behaviors.
Right. We have dating bullies now that we deal with. There's all the statistics on that. We've moved into that as being a huge topic for us.
What kind of bullying was that?
Dating.
Dating.
Same with drugs. Bullying kids into using, bullying kids into drinking, all the issues with alcohol and the prevalence of that and decision making that goes along with that, especially when you're in a group, because the group mentality is not always the best mentality that you're ever going to find. So we've talked with kids about that constantly, and as parents, that's our obligation to our kids also. So, our goal as a district is to not have any issues. But I will tell you that there always will be issues because kids will choose to do the wrong things. Kids aren't perfect. Adults aren't perfect. And that's the reason why there are disciplinary rules, and that's the reason why we have, the speed limit listed on the highways and all those kinds of things, because people need limits and reminders of what the limits are.
And that's the goal, I guess, too.
Correct.
Maybe because there's, to let them know that
punishment is for it. Kids will be punished. I that I will guarantee you.
Right.
Because we can't tolerate it. We will not be tolerated.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next is, I'm gonna Stacey, yeah, I apologize.
Mine is along the same lines. I've had some specific questions. One, the anti-bullying law requires that the school report in fact on the website and to the board how many incidents occur. So we had 65 last year. So my question is that data broken down by building? Can you see that somewhere, or is it just you only have a district one?
It's posted by district, yeah.
You have access to that. So you just have to prevalent at one building or another. Okay. And then I'm just going to try to see if there's obviously, but it's difficult, it's such a fine line because my child comes home and tells me, and this is what, and my child unfortunately lost in on some of it, so he tells me. So I immediately try to go to chain of command, I email the post and he gives me the standard, it's privacy issues, the unfortunate incident. And so it's like hard to get information to decipher what your child is telling you, is accurate, and then you have the rumor. So I guess what would be nice is other than saying we can do things, is to know what implemented is in place to protect kids in that time. So if this particular incident or whatever incident happens, this is in a sports area, obviously. So what happens now to make sure that, or help to, obviously it's never going to make an incident not happen, but what's put in place to make sure or help ensure that they're safe and that it will help eliminate it from
happening. Yeah, the very first thing that we do is we take the tough iron to ourselves, actually. We take the switch, basically, to ourselves and say, how could we have prevented this from occurring? That's what we do first. Because that's, as I drop my kids off at school in the day, in the morning, I wanted my kids to be safe, and I wanted that for all of your kids. And as parents, that you should feel that way. That once you drop your kids off, it's a place of safety. That's our goal. Now, if something does not, if there's a breakdown, we want to take a look at ourselves first in that process. And we're pretty hard on ourselves because we have to be and we want to be, because that, I think, is what we owe this community, and I think that's the expectation of this community to be there. And let's get to the years as long as I have. they want us to take good care of the kids. So, and then we look at, could it be prevented? Are there other prevention type things we should be doing? And that's what we're doing right now. We're really taking a look at, can we widen our view? Even though we're doing an awful lot, is there more that we can do? Is there any way to engage parents in this discussion and get parents involved in this? Because, to be very honest, there are adult boys. In this position, I deal with some of those, to be very honest with you. But it is, it's our goal, as I said before, to keep kids safe, to make sure that they're treated well and they treat others well. That is plain and simple our goal.
So the information, though, like goals.
We will get the information out. If we widen what we do at the middle school, or we widen what we do every place else, we'll let you know. As far as the privacy issue, folks, I can't apologize for that because that's federal law. If I violate federal law, then I'm responsible for that violation. It's that simple.
The anti-bullying law, that the parents of
can
get in writing anything that inspired
the idea. That's not my call. That's somebody else's call. That has to do with the legal system, not mine. You won't get that information from me. That I will tell you. I am bound by privacy for those kids.
And
you want that as a parent. You want that. You don't want me talking about your kids.
So I just thought I'd read that in the anti-bullying law
that is up for the legal folks to decide, not for me to decide.
And then I guess the last facet of it is, we have obviously different procedures for either public schools. Everyone knows they're kicked out of school. So, but what you're saying is this is too subjective bullying, so
yeah.
You can't really have.
Basically, some of it's pretty straightforward and some of it isn't. To be very honest with you, some of the drug stuff is not as black and white as some of it is, too. You know, some of it's very obvious, some of it isn't. Bullying runs the ruler, it does. Some of it is just blatant. Some of it isn't. Some of it is kind of, he said, they said stuff, and this key said something to me 2 weeks ago, and now it's kind of rude and becomes a Hatfield and McCoy type issue that's kind of hard to unfold, to be very honest with you, because there's history, and that history is hard to determine at times. You have to just basically say, straighten up, or this is where we're going next time. Or, if there's enough evidence, what becomes difficult is if there's enough evidence, you may treat one differently than the other, even though the two were perhaps as guilty as the other, as each other. I don't like to do that, but I sometimes have to do that. It's because there's more evidence.
About the car taking pictures, right, in Mill Valley, and I get emails and call, and beware. But I guess that the hard part was the incident that happened in school is much more relevant to me. And so, like, I was much more
involved.
So, getting the information about it, then some possible, like, you want to say, just have
I have thought about that and thought about that and thought about that, and there's no way that I would have made a general phone call to everybody and saying we had a bullying incident here, unless it was just something where everybody's safety was at risk. I wouldn't do that. And I wouldn't have done it in this particular situation. I beat myself up a lot asking myself that question. I know Kathy, let's see. What we could have done differently along those lines. But I wouldn't have done that differently. I would not have. And I've been asked that question a lot. Must be in the email system that's going around out there where people are asking themselves that question. Or criticizing us because we didn't put that out there. but it would have been something I wouldn't have used, I wouldn't have done. Even hindsight, it would not have done that. Because it, kids weren't at risk. The incident was done.
So like you said, if I was in that position, what can I do? What am I allowed to do? And I talked to Mr. Smith about that, and he said, get an adult, and you know, that's not always. I mean, he was just saying,
but that's the best advice, is to get an adult. Is that for
it? Okay, well, cool, yeah.
Put yourself in a safe situation and put yourself.
So then the teacher thinks that they're allowed to know,
No, they don't know anything.
I mean, I know
there's no. No, not unless it pertains to them. They're issues. They have the same privacy requirements as them. No, it's not their business. It's not their business.
I'm having bullying issues at the high school with the teacher, and I'm meeting with the principal this morning, and he pretty much justified the teacher's actions. So, we're going to be discussing that.
Okay. Was there anybody else that wanted to address the board? Thank you for both of your input.
Yes. Kids are safe. I'm okay with it. That's my guarantee to anybody in this community. I mean, I sit in a chair, and I understand the responsibility that goes on with a chair. And I'm okay with it. And that, I think the folks that work here will attest to that. They hear that from me a lot, and they understand it and live it, and that's who we hire. Also, people with the same outlook. It's just, it's our responsibility. So, thank you.
All right, we're going to move along then. Next up is the regular minutes from our August 22nd, our September 12th, and our September 19th meeting.
We have one comment on the minutes from the retreat. Should we be putting, like, I know we had an agenda that day. Should that be out there somewhere along with the minutes? Because I glanced at it. It looked like it said we talked about, we didn't really get into, like, a bullet.
We have the audio.
Yeah, I kind of figured that. I just figured that, you know, when people glance.
What did you want to see? I apologize.
Kind of a summary of what was talked about. So if somebody knows it's worth spending an hour listening to the audio, I guess. I'm just saying in the future, I think that would be probably a good idea. You know, you have this, or along with a 2-3 hour meeting. You know,
yeah.
And I sit there and have to listen to the audio to see what was actually discussed. It's probably not. You know what I mean?
Right.
Somebody might be interested in what our TI situation is, and maybe then I mean, it was kind of a late thought, that's why I didn't.
Okay, fair enough. There's nothing else I need to motion in to accept those 3 sets of minutes, then, please?
Second.
Move to the second roll call, please.
Ms. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Lasky?
Yes.
Ms. Lord?
Yes.
Ms. Baker?
Yes.
Ms. Gordon?
Yes. Okay, motion carries. Next up, the treasurer's report. We can't get through that.
That's right. The monthly information is pretty much standard for August. It has August receipts and all in it. I haven't updated the FM2 to include the projected out yet until we get to the end of the forecast and get all that information together. So, right now, go through and talk about the appropriations a little bit. General fund, revenue, our tax, real estate taxes are down a little, projected $1,000. Tangible, we're up $1,000. Tangible property taxes up about $6,000, and that's just probably because of the way that
the utilities are done because it's all public utilities, personal now. Unrestricted grants and aid that our basic foundation from the state is up by $415,000 over last year, but that's still less than what we received in fiscal year 10. So, you know, it's still less, you know, the basic is more, but less. Our career tech is down this year by $25,000. Our homestead and rollback, along with our tangible personal property hold harmless, is down by $924,000.
So, it didn't hold us very harmless.
No, it didn't. So that's down. And then our other is down in our appropriations, and we can change these at any time during the year. We'll have to. It's down by 173 right now in our available resources. The main reason is when we're going through it and trying to make sure I had everything in it, I forgot the $50,000 that the cafeteria will be paying for utilities. And some of the pay to participate fees and school fees were not quite as high. We've collected more up to this point, so I can see that we need to up those a little bit coming in. It was, as I said, a very low amount, trying to be conservative on the revenue side. So those are the things that we'll look at during the year and bring back to change.
Why was the TPT and the homestead and all that stuff down so much? I mean,
because of that amount, we went down over $900,000 by that 2% from the year before.
Sorry, my brain was down in TI for something. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. Our expenditures, salaries are up about $467,000. It's the increase for the 27th pay and some of the ARRA staff that we paid last year out of the stimulus fund. Our benefits, I know everybody's like, well, why'd they go up so much? They went up by $1.5 million. But all of our SERS and STRS, and not all the STRS, but part of the STRS, whatever we had left in June that needed to be spent in the stimulus money that showed in our, it shows in our forecast, but it didn't show in our general fund. We paid it, we paid for the retirement out of the stimulus dollars. Purchase services are up $141,000 due to utilities and mostly health services, tuition, those type of things. Supplies are up $544,000. Those include our carryover purchase orders. There's about $300,000 in carryover purchase orders there. Also, we had to increase the supplies for changing the workbooks and student fees from general fund from the uniform school supply. Our equipment will be down. We're not paying for any equipment other than the things that help, what do I call it, site-based type things. There's a little bit in there for the maintenance stuff. And then the other is down by $19,000. So overall, our expenditures are up a little bit, but our revenue is down in general fund. I'm going to skip over debt and PI right now. I'm going to just do the other two large funds that are self-sufficient that we have to watch. Food service department, they are staying in the black. Everything still looks good. They've made a large equipment purchase and redone a lot of things at the high school and the serving line, and that's worked out very well for them. And even with the $50,000 for the payment. So they're looking very well right now. And then staff is the other self-sufficient fund that has to pay for themselves. Expenditures to me, what they submitted for their budget for this year, has been very high. So I'll be looking at those again and making sure that that's correct. Or the change for the year.
And staff is the
last
Yeah. Yeah. After school program in the summer camp. In the summer camp, it seems like just looking basically at the revenue expenditures that was up from what we thought maybe. So it looks very well. Now on to our debt fund and PI. That was a lot of our discussion. I did send out options on debt. options that I sent you. There's six different options. One from not doing anything to increasing one mil. This is the, when you're looking at the millage, the auditors, the county auditor sets the millage rate for that, usually in the spring. This is the first county that I've ever worked in that you got it in September. So, not sure why. Just one of those things with the new county auditor. I haven't had a chance to, and I'm sure that's one of the smaller items for her to look at. She would not have, even in March, she would not have been in office yet, even in March. We don't have to have a tax budget. The county auditor does not require it. They can waive the tax budget. And they've done that in this county ever since they've been allowed to do that. So that's one thing. But our debt is not keeping up, even with the permanent improvement. When you look at what we're expending in the bonds for the payment of the building and what we're getting in because of the loss of the TTP hold harmless, because of the loss of value, because the TIF has not grown the way that it was thought of when it first went in. Those are all reasons why our bonds are not, the revenue is not keeping up for the debt. So the county auditor has suggested that we might look at 1 mil every year for the next 3 years. We need about 3 mil to get us back up to where we're at. She has the authority and the responsibility to make sure that we collect enough tax to cover that debt. So with that, we can discuss those.
Well, I had some questions about that 5.2 mil when we passed it. We basically said, according to my handy dandy sheet from fifth third, or somewhere here, it says we would pay 1.5, or we would pay 3.7 to 1.5. It's a reason that we didn't collect any more than 1.5, even though our values went down, because we said we're only going to collect 1.5.
I believe so.
I mean, that seems to me that would be the, you know, they said, look, our commitment was 1.5, but you know, when we passed that, the value was 788 million, and now we're
yeah. 688
million. 688 million. So,
yeah.
So there was no adjustment in there, but that was because we said we're not going to collect any more than
that. And it's not that. Just that 5.2. It's the other mills, the other levies that are out there that we're not keeping up either.
PI
primarily.
So that's
yeah.
6.5 as well, right?
Right.
Yeah, and that's 6.5. And that's really the one that has caused, you know, quite a bit of the issue, because you lost so much value in that particular levy. You're losing 25% per year for the next 4.
From the beginning when we made that commitment for 1.5 or on a 5.2 levy, that was because we were able to pay the bond debt with other resources.
And in anticipation of that the values would hold or grow.
I'm just saying that we did commit other resources to it. I just wanted to, it was never clear to me what those resources
we committed,
were.
We committed the PI and the TIF dollars.
Okay.
I mean, if I look at, you know, if you look at the value schedule that you gave us, you know, when it's
that
limit,
right?
Yeah, well, it's property value. You know, when you look at the property value estimate, I think, and I'm just guessing because I wasn't on the board, but it looks like, you know, you're trying to, as the TIF came online and came up, you were going to pay off with the PI, and then at some point,
I was just trying to understand what those pieces were. So TIF was part of it.
Yeah, no, it
didn't
happen.
Was it more than just what we were getting from the state for having that bond debt? Because they were given like a million, what do you call that? We're still getting that.
The whole harmless. 1.5, right.
So we're still getting that. And that was part of what we committed. Was there anything else we committed? It was just those two things.
Those two.
And then based on that schedule, that should
based on the values,
right?
It should work.
And what's
the values, and then the loss of the PI.
Right.
I mean, if you look at the TIF schedule, is not that far off.
No, it's not.
From what was thought would happen. Now, those TIF dollars are coming from different sources because not as many. They're coming from the housing side, as well as was anticipated, more coming from you know, more business side out there, but they're not too far off. But when you take a look at the loss of value in this community, especially on the tangible property, and then the loss overall of that any type of growth, we're off the mark. And then the PI.
Well, we got the loss from TPP out of the PI, compounds it.
Well, when we say loss of value, not just the TPP, but we're actually talking that we anticipated growth that we didn't get. Right?
Correct.
Exactly.
Correct.
Exactly.
I remember now, this is 2005.
Sure.
When this debt was scheduled. So in 2008, the whole world became a little different, and they've been monkeying with the values now for the last 4 years. It may have even worse.
In the appropriation book, if you look at the PI, our TPP make whole harmless payment in fiscal year 10 is $1,013,568. We received last year $1,016,920. This year we're scheduled to receive $762,000. So we're losing over $250,000 there.
That's
whole harmless. So that hold harmless piece, and they're taking out 25% of what was supposed to be paid.
That was part of our discussion yesterday for the meeting too.
But that one over.
And especially as it relates to debt, because I really and truly believe we are a very unique school district in the state of Ohio. I know we are.
Mm-hmm.
Of when we scheduled debt. And how we anticipated paying for it. Because we went into debt in 2005 on a schedule that wasn't, it was pretty conservative actually.
Yeah. 1% or 2%
growth. But there were so many things that have worked against us because of the type of property that we have in this community that is no longer taxable.
Now, when I look at these projected assessments, the value, projections of the value. Mm-hmm. Did this come from Andrew?
No, this came from John Payne.
You must have redone this, because this has our actual value this year. So.
He did.
He John did.
Oh, so he did it again. So these are recent based on John.
Yeah, those are, I think, all just John Payne's
value. But, you know, when we brought John back in and a long time ago. It was 6 months or 7 months.
Yeah, it was back in the spring
when we started worrying about the PI, knowing that the PI was scheduled to go out at 25%. That's when we thought, oh my, or something like that.
And so he's still assuming a 2% growth in value every year?
That's what he's looking at. I don't think he's going to have that. I'm not putting a 2% in growth in value. So, because right now with what's going on in the Board of Revision and people asking for their taxes to be lowered, we're having some of that. Some are going up, some are going down. So we don't have a total on what all happened yet.
So how long have we been supplementing these payments?
Ever since we started.
And that was in 10.
Yeah.
2005.
Yeah, 2005.
When that combined bond levy went through, right? I mean, that's correct.
I mean, I know that the PIF dollars had always gone there.
And so did part of the PI.
So part of the PI.
Always.
So has that, the PI not just kept growing and growing, how much it supplements?
Yes.
Based upon the one.
And now your PIF.
Right.
Correct, because the values on the debt side have not kept pace with the anticipation.
Yeah, the values, even the millage rate on some of the other debt, the values to cover those bond levies, the ones prior to 2005, those debt schedules were based on a 3-5% increase in value each year, because that's what they were seeing back in the early 2000s.
And you were seeing, during revaluation,
8%?
Oh, 14, 16%.
Well, he's got 8 on here and then 5 for this year. I mean, that was back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
We're actually seeing like 14, 16.
And that was 2005.
That's what I mean. When you voted on those, that bond, that was your best ever.
Knowing that what we were seeing was actually bigger than that.
Right.
Well, but that was kind of crazy. You have a 3-3 on all
the time. That's the reevaluation.
8 is the reevaluation. And you always have an 8.
But you go back historically, that's what we'll see.
Yeah.
Because you see the values jump every 3 years.
Yeah.
So when, I guess when this kind of started, please, took the wrong term, how long ago should the auditor have redone the valuation?
I think that's a good question, and it's hard to really tell. Probably 2 years ago.
I would say probably 2010.
But we've been working on the values. Four years.
Yeah.
Well, you've been here too?
Yeah, 3.5. Yeah, we started before that. And the values within the TIF district have, especially in city of Dayton. Okay, TIF, so you understand what a TIF is? A TIF is tax increment financing. And those are, people are paying the taxes. People that live in Mill Valley are, it's
part,
tax. Part of that is a...
Part of Mill Valley.
Yeah.
The area of Coleman Coffee and City Gate, the TIF districts, those taxes are paid as they typically would be paid, but then by the taxpayer. From the city and the school district share that, those TIF districts. And then that TIF district is then not seen as value to the state of Ohio. Therefore, they don't deduct that value from your students.
The state funding side
of the house. Because on the state funding side of things, if they see value growth in a community, they see that community more able to take care of themselves. That's the way school funding is. Works in Ohio. It's an excellent system.
So, I would say back in probably 2010 when those values were set, or the millage rates were set, that's when it should have been, because at that point there was no more tangible personal property tax value in our millage in the calculation to get to that. Yeah, it was totally completely out by then. So I would have said 2010 she should have been looking at it. But it hasn't been. And so as you look at even the levies that were done, the bonds that were done, there's 5 of them. And Andrea on the tax report that she's given me, and she's broken out the 2005 to the original and the refinancing, so that's showing. So that is 5 instead of 4 bond issues. So we have the one of a refinancing back in 2000, and then 2003, and then 98. So those haven't even, those values there with those millages are not keeping up now either, because of the fact that the values on those, from what they saw when those were done back in 98 or 2000, are less than what they were at that time for the growth.
Two questions. Is there a reason why, does anybody know why the county doesn't require that report?
The tax budget?
Well, yeah, I guess that's the thing that we would otherwise be approving about this time.
We have to send them information on what it is, what we do for tax budget, the tax budget type, what we think the income's going to be, what that is. We just send them
last night we approved one. I mean, they only have one, but you pointed out that most districts, they would approve. Say yes, that's my levy, and yes, that's the millage. And I'm just thinking that going back to 2010, where that problem where you think that the millage should have been more, that had we been doing that process, we would have been in a position to catch that probably, right?
Not really.
No,
because the tax rates that you get are voted tax rates usually.
Right.
And so they're the ones that are calculating that tax rate.
And you don't know the effective rate until much later.
Yeah. So you really don't know that.
But we should know what we need to make that payment.
They have the bond schedule of what we need every year. So they should be looking at it too.
But again, I want to go back and say the issue with that is that we said we were only going to collect 1.5.
No, I understand that. I think that's where it kind of gets a little muddy for us.
Right.
Because otherwise we say, hey, we don't have enough money.
Exactly.
Whereas now we're like, well, let's grab some more from wherever we're at. And I'm not sure where that kind of a... I guess my point on that was, would we be better off if we went through that process, you know, just to approve with the budget report?
The tax budget?
The tax budget, yeah.
Not really, because it's the same, it looks the same as your five-year forecast. And you give it.
I think what you're talking about is
every
October is the tax rate is what we do, not the tax budget.
Yeah.
We approve that every year.
We do approve the tax rate.
We did last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to approve the tax rates every year.
And that's us telling them what we think.
No, that's them telling us
what
they are. And we approve
them. Agreeing that
that's
all.
Yeah,
that's all.
We
see
it.
Yeah.
And at that point, we don't know what it would collect.
You don't. You don't know necessarily what the effective rate is, and you don't know necessarily what the values are.
Okay.
And you don't know what the legislative folks are going to do every 2 years in the budget cycle, come July 1st of that budget cycle year, what new laws kick in that impact the values of your community. The taxable piece of the property have changed dramatically in this school district. And it changed our debt payment because of it. It's been one of the things that we've been telling them about. I mean, I testified, Cindy testified at the state level to the House. They recognized the issue. Getting them to do anything about it, though, I mean, it hasn't been done yet.
So the auditor can do whatever she wants to do.
The auditor is obligated to make sure that your debt is paid.
But she has to know from us that we can't pay it because we're paying part of it off with our PI.
That's
right.
Correct.
So how
and the court.
So how do we report to the auditor that we you know, as I look at our sheet that we went over, we're clearly we're gonna be under enough to pay our bond debt. So how does she know that from us?
We have to report that to Andrea, and we report that to Mary. We had meetings with Mary, with John, John Adams, all that was done.
So we're still committing the $10 to that.
Yes.
100%. Well, some goes to the Alaska lease.
No, TI goes to the Alaska lease.
So we're all in $10.
Yes. Every single penny of the TIF goes to the debt.
And you flatlined that at $800,000 for the foreseeable future.
Right, just as an idea of what it would do if we get more growth, if we see more growth, if we see more houses going up into those different areas, if we see more businesses going out into Coleman Crossing City Gate.
If you see the value of those pieces of property increase, and that's where we have worked so hard in making sure that those properties that already exist out there are properly assessed.
Some on one side at $40,000 and some on the other side at $400,000.
Sitting right next to it was $5 million, and then one beside it was $41,000.
And so, and you don't want any permanent improvement money going towards it?
No. We're saying that we need to make sure that we have enough permanent improvement dollars to do what we need to do.
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
Because it's going down so quickly, that's why we said we need to really look at this now. We saw last September, October, we started looking and saying, what's going on, and it's mainly because we started seeing that the amount of the levies were not bringing in, or the amount of the millage rates and everything was not bringing in all that we thought was going to happen. There is a possibility of doing some refinancing on some of it next year. Yeah, it'd be next year in late 2012.
But is your expectation at this point is just to not use any permanent improvement money towards that bond?
No, we're still going to be using, I've got $2.4 million, which is part of it, $1.4 million out of PI, out of the PI levy, to go towards that this year.
It was always...
Yeah. But I just wonder from now, from what you see is happening now, and
we just need to make sure that...
I think you have to... You can put the entire PI towards the debt if you wanted to, but what you... I'm not sure it would be real
responsible. No, and so that's why I was asking what can be expected.
Exactly. It's going to be a fine line. We have to choose.
We need to sit down as a whole committee and make some decisions.
Correct. You have to know what... You know, if you lose a boiler tomorrow, we lose whatever. You know, you have to have that in that PI fund. And that's what we're scheduling out. We know what, we've got that out anyway for a lot of years, so.
Yeah, that's what that list was that we looked at.
Now, is that in this PI, the forecast you gave us?
Yeah.
So that includes all the, you know, this
no,
list.
No, that list is not in there.
It's and not, because that's something that we got, you know, $1 million for this, $450 for textbooks, and,
yeah.
I mean.
There's, we need to
is
really.
Is this just normal operational stuff in here?
Yeah.
What we have done.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm done. Because if you take, you know, $2 million out of there to pay for
debt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes quickly.
Right.
Especially with it moving.
Yeah. And that's where it really hit when we heard that they're taking 25% of the tangible for the Cardinal School away each year. So in 4 years, we will lose that.
The argument that I made and I continue to make is the PI levy is basically like a bond issue. It's for things that are 5 year life
or
more. That should have been taken away to become state general fund money. That was debt or building infrastructure needs at a district level. I mean, your promise to your community when we passed that 5 mil PI levy was that it was there to take care of infrastructure, to take care of the buildings. And we've done, I think, a great job of doing that. The state of Ohio took 25% of that value and yet now using it for general fund at their level and took it away from here. And it makes our commitment harder to reach. And that's, I understand what they did on the general fund side. You know, I didn't like it, but I understand it. But I don't understand it on the PI side, because those are hard purchases, things that you're doing to improve your infrastructure and keep your infrastructure functioning. So that's been the argument.
What do you happen to know? How much this would cost, you know, a homeowner in our community, and do you know if...
Each mill is about $45 per 100,000.
Is anything similar happening with any of the other taxing districts within the community, or they have any similar...
No, I'm not going to know that, because no one has debt.
My car is
I'm structured by this.
I think that the city steps that they just passed is on income tax.
So what it looks like is at some point we're going to have to, I mean, obviously we're not sustainable with the direction this is going. And we can't use general fund dollars to pay any of that. You can pay your bonds off with general
fund. Absolutely. Why would you use general fund dollars? We're going to flush you on general fund.
Or not.
Exactly.
That's the whole problem. We're not flushing general fund. They're taking away our PI and our PI is to make sure that if something happens major, we got a little bit of money left.
You talked about looking at this more detail and possible solutions in committee. Are you referring to finance committee or something like that?
I think that what we need is a committee, a group of Larry and myself and administrators to really sit down and start looking at where we're going in the next 5 years, because they know what we need out there in voting.
On hard
issues, yeah. And Mike and Jeff and all those guys.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, when you take a look at your where you're spending a lot of money. You're spending a lot of money on parking lots and roofs and, you know, those kinds of, you know, cement deterioration, and could be buses, could be vehicles that you have to purchase. You know, if we have bad winter, we have snow plow issues, we have to figure it out somehow or another. So the winter we've had, the last couple of winters, have been hard on our equipment. So you have to just pace that out, just cost that out, and know where you are. And I think we do, for the most part. What we need to do is really revisit it. But I think what we really need is a discussion around the table with John Adams and Andrea and Henry Weaver and so on, kind of figure out and making sure that everybody's on the same page, so that we know that where we are and where the dollars are coming from. Because the auditor's been critical in making sure that these payments can be made. And John Adams, I don't think many of you haven't met John. John's been our analyst forever. I mean, he's done all our building structures and plumbing and watches all the bond payments and making sure that the bonds are being sold and when they're coming due and when you can refinance and all that. John's done that for probably 20 plus years at this point. All the time that I've been superintendent. Because all the meetings we've had with Moody's and Standard & Poor's and those kinds of things have always been through John. And then, I don't know, Ed Cavazza is a bond attorney. It wouldn't be a bad idea to have Ed here also, probably around that table, because he'll know the legal side of the debt.
So that sounds like a work session.
Is it a work session or is it a subset, like committee type thing?
Well, it can be either one, but I imagine there's more than two board members that want to sit in on that.
What's that?
I imagine it's more than
two. That's the question, right?
I mean, I would like to sit in on that.
I don't care how you do it. I think it's complex enough, there's many heads you get in the room to kind of work it out, and so folks can understand what's happening to Marysville needs to be understood. Because we are unique. There's no question at all about that. In all my discussions with folks around the state, what's occurring here is unlike anyplace else. Because anyplace else that had the amount of reduction of tangible property didn't have the amount of debt against that property. And it caused us to really see things and things occur to us that no one. I don't think it's just that. There are unintended consequences of the new state laws.
Okay, so what's the timeline for having this issue resolved?
She would like to have at least a resolution if they accept it in the October board meeting. So she does have to have that so that they can put it on the tax bills if we do increase it this next year.
My only issue with increasing, increasing taxes without voters, without going.
Your voters have approved it.
They
I understand they approved
it,
but.
To give you a little idea.
I understand that
they have
approved it.
But I'm saying, okay, let me just rephrase it then. Just increasing taxes without that conversation.
I get it.
The thing is, a lot of districts throughout the state, if they have debt, they could have it go up or down, and they've had those changes in those.
Absolutely, I get that. And we talked about that the other day, that, typically you might see that payment fluctuate based on values.
Exactly.
And I understand that, and I think that's why the conversation is important, is to make sure that if that does happen, that they understand that that's what happened.
Typically in a debt situation, if you pass 5.2 mils, you would collect in the beginning years, probably 9 mils, and then have it go down. That would be typical debt.
Exactly.
We chose not to do that because our values were increasing. We chose to keep the millage rate constant and let value go up and create that number instead of setting this number up. But when you look at typical debt structure around the state of Ohio, that's the way it works.
Yeah.
If you pass 5.2 mils, you're probably, well, you are. You're gonna collect at least 4 more mils in those early years, and then it goes down over time.
Our community has expected what has happened for this many years, and it would be nice to
I totally agree with that.
As opposed,
and this has been something that we've talked about, and we've anticipated, and regretfully, here we are.
We are a product of the economy.
Well, we're a product of the law.
Well, we do have a solution that doesn't require that, right? Us to just a bunch of millage next year. Like, in your options, there are options in there. So I'm just saying.
We can bump the millage as we go.
No, that's not what you're talking about.
No, I'm saying that we don't. One of your options was that we don't have to do that this year.
No, right.
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 And
well, yeah, we would transfer all of our PI money.
We would do what we've been doing.
Yeah.
That's
right. Yeah.
Right. Well, the amount would increase from last year. I mean, we would add more PI. Yeah.
I mean, one of our options had us not doing it the first year, and then.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm saying is looking at those options is important, and then if it requires a particular millage, you know, my personal opinion is we need to have that conversation.
Correct.
Well, that doesn't leave as much time as we're now in October.
Well, and then that's maybe something we should talk to Andrea about, understand where we're at on that, because, you know, is that something she prefers, or is that something she needs?
She needs the rate so that she can get the tax bill, so that the county treasurer can put
we'll
the
talk
tax
to Andrea.
Bill. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so maybe there a way she can put it bottom of the list?
Thanks.
And she has to understand that, and she's going to be getting a lot of the phone calls, so I think she can appreciate
it.
She understands it fully.
We've had a lot of
others for a long time.
Yeah.
Before she was even elected, she understood it.
Yeah.
I don't think she realized it before she was, you know, until we had the conversation ahead of it. But she understood it very clearly.
So then is our expectation to try and have a meeting with Andrea and the other individuals
prior to
that? Yeah, let us get some, you guys, Jeff, can they work for you? We've gotten times, and then we'll work through John and Ed and Andrea and see what makes some sense.
Well, here's my calendar. Everybody's home.
Well,
we'll
be talking about in October, though, so we got the superintendent stuff probably up in October, right?
Yes, we do.
Okay, and then...
Well, we only have actually two things. Actually, we only have one meeting for superintendent.
Okay. Do we have a work session for the five-year forecast like we did last year? Are we doing that? Remember last year, I think we did it in August, though.
I don't have one scheduled. No.
I just didn't know because we have approved the 5-year forecast as well in October. So, you know, we're going to hate these work sessions that have like 8 different agenda items. So.
Actually, our last retreat worked out real well, so I was okay with how that worked out.
Yeah.
It may feed that.
That's yeah, true.
I mean, I'm sure one's going to have an effect on the other. Did you open a window?
I didn't.
No, thanks. Goodness.
Because it would be nice to have that forecast before we visit, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I'm hoping to have something.
All right, well, our next board meeting is the 27th. As you can see from my calendar, I'm open these dates, and I'm open these dates.
I'm kind of missing that.
Guys, don't worry about it. We'll just... I'm going to shoot for the week of the 17th. That at least gives us a little bit of time, if possible, sometime in that week. But you guys get back to me on that question. Well, that gives us a little bit of time before the board meeting.
Okay.
But you guys just send me some days on during that week, which is
17th.
I'm just asking for something. If it has to be the week of the 24th, I'm okay with that. Right?
I'm not okay. I mean, I would hate to push it to the end of the month.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'd rather do it the week of the 17th. So we have a little bit of time between that work session and our board meeting. Even if there's because we're going to cover the forecast in there as well, so you may have questions. You know, you don't want to do that we want to do that here.
Last minute,
right.
Wednesday's the only day that does not work for me that week. Are we looking at those now?
No. Okay. No, just I'll send out a note tomorrow asking for dates. What my preferred date is, I mean, you can work around.
We have that. We have the superintendent thing on 21st, right?
We do. So we
do. Oh, you do. Okay, got it.
We have a meeting next week on the 10th. Okay. 2 weeks on the 10th. Week and a half.
Sure.
Well, I'm trying to have my calendar. I thought it was on my phone. There's other things in there. Okay, so are we done talking about the debt for the moment?
That's done. Is there an appropriation?
Oh, no, let's talk about
the moratorium. Okay, so we need to approve the permanent appropriations and what's the intramural activity?
The intramural activity is that because of the cuts in the boys' basketball, middle school, the boys, and they've come to the principal ask if they could have an intramural activity for them. And it will be fully paid by the fees that they are collecting. That is a new student activity.
Okay. Are there any other questions on A, B, or C for the
guest? Fund improvement. The set right as that stands now, that set has a paying everything out of the TI for the money.
TI interest, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's the TIF is collected in the TI, it's deposited
right.
In the TI.
And then we talked about we should always amend those as we go down. So as the year goes on, we find ways, you know, and the need to, and the ways to trim down, we can just amend that.
Yeah, I don't know why they call them permanent, because they're not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was looking at Owen Candy. They do theirs monthly. They make their changes to their appropriation
yeah.
Monthly.
Yeah.
No, but you still have
to pass it. Well, yeah, you still have to pass permanent, but. By the first,
yeah.
From what I'm told.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay.
And just
go ahead.
It's the 5-year forecast right now. With these, as best we can tell, we're still in the black for FY13.
Right now we are.
Okay.
All right. Then I move we accept the items submitted by the treasurers, items A, B, and C.
Second.
Move in second. Roll call, please.
Jimmy.
Yes.
Steve.
Yes.
Mr.
Freitas?
Yes.
Freitas? Yes. Yeah. Okay,
motion carries.
And 7, OSDA services agreement. There's been cast practice to contact Ohio School Board Association to provide board policy services, which is recommended that we enter into that agreement and provide policy services again for next year so we can be revised. Codified and compiled.
When does that start? The free approval tonight. When did it actually start on
it?
So you have, who's our designee for that? Yeah, I mean, who's the contact? Who's going to be running it from the district side?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be Tim? I'm just curious.
Tim Lee, or depends on when it starts.
We recommended what? The superintendent, the treasurer, and
Are you volunteering?
No.
I know you are.
I will.
I see your hand going up.
I think
between
finance and my
phone.
We need to figure it out by next year, right?
Yeah, it's January.
Yeah. For that permanent committee. But for this thing, if we were to start this, would we start? And would you realistically would we start right away on that?
I mean, how did it work the last time?
This premium service that takes a year.
You take parts of it.
Yeah, and it's got to come to the, it's got to come to the board in sections, isn't that how they typically do it?
And they take everything and start going.
They have to go. They have to gather all the data first before they even do anything. Mm-hmm. So.
But they have it all anyway. They've been doing.
Yeah, but they include the manuals and so that they can make sure everything works with each other. So.
And then make sure that they validate what you have is what is current.
And ours really, well, I don't think we're not missing anything that's current. We just have some things in there that are outdated.
Yeah.
It's
all
of
that.
Yeah.
Code
sections have changed.
Well, code sections have changed, and those have been noted.
Well,
it never hurts to go back through and just revisit your policy. It's been a while. It's not a lot of fun. I will tell you that. It takes a lot of time.
Up to a year.
So there's no issue with us starting it with Larry involved and then whoever.
It's all going to boil down to who.
I wouldn't think there was.
Probably it won't help to have Larry in place to start with.
Actually, you can do it after February.
That's not something I want to drop on. Here's your first day. Here's all of my balls. Get in there.
Well, that was one of the issues I actually had. I mean, this is a tough assignment. As you're bringing in somebody new, having them do this in the first year. I mean, that hopefully you can get a lot of it.
Well, the idea, though, is not changing anything. It's just making sure that
it's a lot of discussion. You can change some things, especially your not necessarily your policy, but your administration that follows the regulation that follows. That's what changes.
Right, but the our policies themselves. I mean, that's not the intent of this. It's
you take care of all that at once.
I'm sure something will get answered.
Oh, you can.
I move that we accept this.
Is
everybody all right with it?
Yeah.
Am I stuck in it?
Oh,
second. Moving second. Roll call point.
I mean, yeah, we are spending $10,000 here, so I think it was worth talking about. And it's a year process.
That's fine. We're going
to. Hang on. It's on the table now, so we can talk about it. We're going to talk about
that's
it.
That's fine.
If our intent is just to clean up, is the premium package the right package? And because the premium package is to do a thorough, it's my understanding, I wasn't able to get to it, but it's to do a thorough revamping of your policy, right?
Well, it is, because it's going to make sure all the regulations, everything is consistent.
Yeah. And I think that's important.
From the policies down.
I think it's exactly what I mean.
It's what you've always done.
Yeah.
If you're going to go through it, you're going to go through it as that way.
You don't want to pay to have it done halfway and then get several things done. Quite right.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Policy 8, board policy, speaking of that, revisions and amendments, we have two board policies, one new policy, which is a new law, new standard for animals in schools. Those are primarily service animals, including ponies and so on, which is really. The board policy for hazing and bullying, which includes language about dating violence and the district's responsibilities around that.
Is that what the change? I was trying to find the change, so that was the only change in that.
Okay.
I did notice, and this is, I was going to bring it up, but I figured it's better for now. It explicitly says that bullying, harassment, intimidation is only considered when a student exhibited towards another particular student more than once. So like we're just talking about bullying, but according to this, like our stats, according to our stats, we wouldn't count that incident as bullying.
It depends on what Kathy ends up classifying it.
Okay.
And again, that's, as I said earlier, it can be over the place. See, What is harassment? It
has to be repeated.
It has to be repeated and intensive.
And that's all, again, the policy says that, so I would think that.
As a guideline, that would be.
What you find, though, as you dig into stuff, is you start looking at the history.
Right. Got it.
And history works on both sides. Actually, what happens a lot of times is a result of the opposite person doing something to cause some of the reaction.
Good. Are there any other questions about those board policies?
I didn't understand the animal one.
The animal one changes its dogs, and now there's a new regulation for miniature ponies. Seriously, you know, I agree with the thing.
Yeah, I do.
Do you allow to take ponies to school?
No, you can't.
Well,
is it service ponies?
Service ponies. Service miniature ponies. Yes, sir.
You're allowed to have a pony.
A service
pony. I've always wanted a pony.
What is a service pony?
A service dog.
Service pony. It would be a pony that's trained to be a service dog. Yeah.
See, the people
I've not seen a pony.
Well, now you have a regulation. It had to happen somewhere, otherwise they wouldn't create a regulation for it.
Oh, man. I want pictures if we get that. Oh, yeah. Okay, you're about to have
fun. We voted, yes.
No. So moved.
Second.
Moving second. Roll call.
Okay, motion carries. Number 9 is contract with the hospital for a athletic trainer that we've done for several years. A part-time trainer that we have.
No questions. I need a motion to accept that.
Okay.
Moving second. Roll call, please.
Sebastian.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Item 10 is one that probably in my history I've only seen just a couple times. It's called abandonment of a position. We have a person that was hired as a latchkey or staff program assistant, and she just has not shown up for work and won't resign. So we basically are saying that she's abandoned her position.
She's okay, right?
She's okay.
Move in second. Roll call, please.
Mr.
Greenberg.
Yes.
Mr.
Spears.
Yes.
Mr. Lee. Yes. Mr. Lawson. 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 Yes. Mr. Lawson.
Yes. Mr. Lawson. Yes. Mr. Lawson. Yes. Mr. Lawson. Yes. Mr. Lawson. Yes. Mr.
Lawson.
Yes.
Mr. Lawson.
Yes. Mr. Lawson. Yes.
Item 13 is employment of district staff. Recommended that the following individuals be approved on a 1-year limited contract, but one is actually on a new contract. You have an aide at Creekview, which is a replacement, and then Deb Ellis as a consultant for district programs. We're doing that differently this year. Last year we just did $16,000 for her, not really knowing. Coming off of a full-time supervisor the year before, going to a consultant base, we really didn't know how much we were going to use them. But I think it'll be in the same category. She's amazing. I can't even begin to tell you the value that you get. Somebody else. She has started some programs
She's really got that dual enrollment grant.
The dual enrollment grant. Dual enrollment, you know, you have 165 kids or whatever that is, high school, earning college credit and high school credit at the same time. My paying college credit is like $25 a quarter or a semester.
Your kid better be doing that.
Yeah. I mean, that was a deal for parents.
Yeah, I mean, because you could literally come out of high school and be a sophomore in college.
Come out of high school and be a sophomore and have your associate's degree.
That's amazing. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a deal.
Some of it is $25.
Some are a little bit more.
Some of it's more. But if it's in the state system, $25 an hour.
It's cheaper than it would be if you went down to high school. Yeah. I promise you that.
you better, these kids need to get them to Iowa. They really should. It's just a great program. And I couldn't have done it without it. Amazing.
So moved.
Okay.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Greer?
Yes.
Yeah. Janady?
Yes.
Yeah. 14 is one of the district staff, employees of student rights and sound technicians affected for the 11-12 school year. Again, these kids volunteer. They go through a training program. They're being here noted, but they go through a training program. And then they're either paid $7.50 an hour or $10 an hour, depending on their responsibilities. And they do everything from graduation setup to setting up for the community concert series, to guest hosts, to people who rent the auditorium and so on.
What are the work transition students do?
The work transition kids are kids that are IEP students generally. They're either juniors or seniors working through their special ed program, transitioning into a work.
Oh, so they're not working for us, or are they?
They are.
Okay.
Yeah, they are working for us because they're probably working someplace at high school on our site. But they would be IEP students.
So move.
Second.
Move and second. Roll call,
please. Mr. Mayne?
Yes.
Mr. Greenberg?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Fraser?
Yes. Okay, motion carried.
Item 15, you have two supplemental staff resignations, A and B, and I recommend that you accept both of those resignations.
So move.
Second.
Move and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Greenberg?
Yes.
Mr. Fraser?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, motion carries.
Item 16 is a minimum supplemental contract. This is for a person that's going from 100% contract to a 50% contract to be shared with another person for a high school class advisor and class of 13.
So move.
Second.
Move and second. Roll call.
Okay.
Yes.
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 Yeah. Okay, motion carried.
Item 17 is supplemental contracts. Again, these are supplemental contracts that I would recommend for primarily the fall season, some of the winter season or advisors also.
Any questions on this?
This also falls within the recommendations you made earlier this year.
Yeah. All the reductions we've made will fall on at least.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, all the reductions, the supplementals that we made, these were within our, what we estimated we were going to have.
Okay. I can tell you, I can tell you. So moved. Second. Moving second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Schwinger?
Yes.
Mr. Nady?
Yes.
Mr. Kier?
Yes.
Mr. Schwinger?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 18, district substitutes and home instructors. You have a list of district substitutes and home instructors for the 11-12 school year on an as-needed basis. And I recommend that they be included.
Move and second. Roll call,
please.
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Greenberg?
Yes.
Okay, Item 19, student teachers, recommended that the following student teachers be approved for the 11-12 school year again. We just recognize these folks because we're going to be working with our kids, and they should be covered under our liability.
Okay, so move.
Second.
Moving second.
Schmady.
Yes.
Griff.
Yes.
Griffith.
Yes.
Schwindler.
Yes.
Johnson.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 20 is Big Brother, Big Sister, Lunch Buddy Mentoring Program. We've done this for several years, and we're not recommended that we run this program again.
Where does that happen at?
At the elementary. It's typically at Northwoods, or typically there. It could be at some of the other buildings, but typically at Northwoods.
All right.
So move.
Second. Move in second. Roll call, please.
Schwindler.
Yes.
Schmady.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Okay, motion
carries. Item 21, you have district volunteers. You have a whole host. And I recommend again that you approve these volunteers again. They fall under our liability.
We're certainly blessed to have a list this long, I will say that.
Hold on, man.
Let me find the end so I can take a little shot. So move.
Okay.
Move in second, roll call.
Mr. Schmady.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Baker.
Yes.
Schwindler.
Yes.
Johnson.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 22 is student overnight trips. FSA just got them all. Just shot them all through it. So you have a whole host of FSA overnight trips and student trips there that they're recommending that be approved.
Move in second. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 23, student fundraiser, one for Raymond Elementary for, well, one would be plants and one would be a pie company.
Get up and get your pies. So move.
Second.
Move in second. Roll call.
Mr. Schmady.
Yes.
Schwindler.
Yes.
Schlosser.
Yes.
Clear.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, motion carries.
Item 24, donations to the district. I please accept the following donations. We have some there listed for name and also for ring.
So move.
Second. Move in second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Baker.
Yeah.
Mr. Schwindler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, motion carries. One more item before we go into executive session that I forgot to bring up. Finance Committee.
All right.
I guess the discussion Doug and I have been having, civil as it may be, just address some of the direction we want our Finance Committee and where we want them to focus on. And I think one of them was, you know, understanding our debt and our, you know, kind of our PI now that we're out there, you know, kind of that's in the realm, and get them to understand that. And then as a long term, my thought was, you know, it's more of kind of getting into our appropriations and understanding our line items for the budget and understanding how we budget, and then so when things come along from Cindy, you know, they understand what those are and they can. You know, she can bounce that off of them, and they can offer some kind of, you know, input and ideas and whatnot.
Right.
So that was what I was thinking, and I'll hand that off.
I mean, my thinking was, we talked about our compensation being trying to find a sustainable solution. We know the meetings that are coming. We know that's out there. FY13, end of FY13, we have to do something. And I know I know we talked about wanting this to be a board level thing. I'll just, with everything going on and the fact that we talked about that in January and haven't had really one real discussion on it, I just think that's something that I'd like to engage the community or the finance community on. Pulling people from the community, even if it's just to get ideas to plug into our conversation, but just to get some people from that didn't kind of grow up in this public sector, this kind of pay system, get their ideas, how they sustain finances in the private sector, and get their ideas on the table. So I think that would be a good thing for the finance community to do.
So now we need to hear from you three.
Can they do both?
They can. They can, but I'm given their, I mean, that's a lot for one group of people to look at, so.
Well, what time period are you looking at?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, we have until the end of.
I really think the issue goes back to Roy stating a long time ago that when you look at benefits and compensation and those kinds of things, that it rests at the board level instead of it going, it being tossed to somebody else. Again,
I think
you know, there's a lot of different ways to cut at it, but I think that is where the where it dropped off.
We had a session where we were supposed to come up with ideas for sustainability, and nothing got done until it was done at a board, in a board format, and people just don't want to share ideas at that level. And I think that if we can get, there's a lot of, I mean, we have 50 people volunteer for our finance committee, and if you look at the, you know, what some of those people do in their day job, they're very smart people, and I think getting them to the table, even just for a few nights, to say, hey, here's our problem, what do you think? And just, I mean, it doesn't, you don't have to sit, you don't have to constrain it by what's realistic, and you don't have to get into the real numbers of, you know, who gets paid what and all that kind of stuff. But just get the ideas on the table so we can get some out of the box, you know, type of, you know, thoughts on the table for us. And then we can take it from wherever will make sense at that point. But it just seems like we're not tapping the resources of our community if the board says, no, that's something we need to discuss. Because I tell you, I don't have experience doing that. I'm not going to come up with the great idea that, you know, creates a sustainable salary structure. And I don't know if anybody here feels like they're in a position to do that. But I think...
I'm not sure what the state's going to do require in a way of structuring teacher compensation as well. I mean, obviously, you know, race to the top for us is going to be half of that.
Right.
I mean, because the 50% has to be some.
Well, let me give you a good example. I talked to Eric yesterday, the treasurer out of High Point.
Right.
And, I asked how he's able to do things out there. He says, I know more flexibility. And he talked through some of the things he's able to do there. Now, granted, they don't have a union there. But the point is, here are some ideas I think that I can get from how they just do things. Because they still have a salary structure. They still have all that kind of stuff. But I'm just saying that if you talk to people that have to live in with different constraints that are more similar to what we're going to, performance-based, merit-based pay, you're going to get some ideas, even if it's only a couple. It could help us find a solution. I just have a hard time picturing the board being the one that comes up with that solution, unless you're thinking we're going to delegate it to somebody else. But I've heard people talk that's going to come out of the race to the top stuff.
Some of it is. I mean, that's part of what we have to do.
But I think us representing the community, we need to have, we need to do our due diligence as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm
exactly. And we all need to come together.
So, exactly. I mean, I don't want to hand that off to somebody else to do and have them come back and tell us what we need to do.
And all I'm looking for the finance committee or some committee that's made up of people within the public, or, you know, in our community that do this kind of stuff for a living, get some ideas from them.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I agree, we need ideas from other individuals that are more expert in their field. The fear is that they, if we don't do or use their ideas, then we get nothing from them. That's the only fear. But then again, it goes back to even what we're doing with the superintendent research. And that concerns me that when our teachers and staff and community says this is what we want in the superintendent, and we as a board sit here, and we're the ones that said this is who we want, and then everybody else says, oh, that's not what I wanted, that's not what I said.
That's
accountability. And it's the same thing with this.
I mean, we are accountable to the community, so we should not be afraid of their input, even if it means us going a different direction. We should be open, and we should, our goal should be to get as much input from the community as possible, because that's who we represent. I mean, if it was feasible to get input from everybody, that would be the ideal. Right?
The input from the community versus a committee to give us that input.
I just think in a committee where you can reasonably get people together, you saw what the teachers did over at Creekview. You know, they had brainstorming session. You know, why can't we do something for this? I mean, just getting ideas on the table. I mean, we've all been part of the brainstorming sessions in our you know, a day job. I don't understand why something as critical as this that we don't want to have those resources.
And it sounds like what Doug is talking about anyway, ideas as opposed to recommendations.
Yeah, that's all I'm talking about right now.
Mm. Ideas, yes.
Everybody okay with that?
I'm okay with ideas. I don't have a problem with ideas. I thought that's what the finance committee was supposed to be doing, not making a formal recommendation as much as a discussion, and then giving us options as opposed to recommendations. They've given us options before in the past, and we've, you know, looked at those. But I'd want to see it as options, not as, you know, recommendations. So they kick it around.
I don't think they want to be in the position of giving recommendations either.
And you, because I know what Roy's saying, it's like, you know, if you don't do that, then it's like I didn't listen. Well, you know, it's not that I didn't listen, it's just that it didn't balance out. So I'd rather see it as options that are fleshed out and then brought to the board level.
So we have a direction then for them on Monday. I apologize, I gotta work. But anyway, so that's
gonna work?
I know.
Really? What's the pleasure day though?
Yeah. Seems like it someday.
Yeah.
So basically we're gonna do both of them.
Yeah, I think that's
I just wanna make sure I clarify.
I hope we can get work on getting some timelines for when we think things. They can organize it so that they can.
People on this committee.
Well, there's 50 people that volunteer.
Volunteers. They're willing to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
surviving condo, right?
Yeah.
That'd be good. Yeah, it doesn't have to be 50 people.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll work out those.
Okay. Yeah.
So, all right, good. All right, thank you. That's all I want to make sure we got set up on that.
Okay.
I'm going to open up public participation one more time before we go into executive session. Is there anybody else want to address the board one more time before we send you on your merry way?
Jeff, can I just say something?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to raise the top transportation to you.
Yes, ma'am.
I understand, Fred, what you're saying about bringing in community support, but you compared it to what Creekview did. What we did in our building was teachers working together to make what we do better, and we have background on it. And I guess with what's been going on, if you want to know what Race the Top is bringing to the table, I don't know how informed you are about the Race the Top and the new evaluation system that's taking place with teachers for the principals and things like that. And I didn't know if you realized that Russell and Creek are going to be part of that pilot program to get feedback to the state. So I guess if you're going to open it up to the community, I think it might also be wise to include some educators.
I agree.
I guess my voice on that is we don't feel like that opportunity has been presented to us. You say the community looks responding. So I believe in our previous day, it was teachers helping teachers and students become better. So you had people who had some background. Nothing against what goes on in the professional world.
They have a lot of background when it comes to sustainable finance and performance-based pay.
And they do. But how teachers are going to be evaluated, I think they need to become familiar with the state system before you have people who don't understand what the state's requiring of us, no matter what. And I think you need to educate those people on the guidelines.
I agree with half what you said. I think they need to be informed. I don't know if you have to do it before giving the idea. I
guess that goes back to, if you have people coming in sharing ideas and then they say they want us to do it, if you give them some parameters, I think it might reduce that we weren't listening to the thing.
No.
If there's parameters that in. Because our district and every other district in Ohio is going to be bound by the new ODE OTS standards. And we have two buildings right now in our district who are piloting that. So I think it'd be nice to use the resources that are available for our background and bring the community in and say, here's our constraints, here's the parameters, how can you help make this better? So that there are some people who have their own ideas, which I think is great. It's great to brainstorm. And one of the rules of brainstorming is there is no wrong answer.
Well, that's what I was going to have with the whole creepy
weapon. But at the same time, to avoid the miscommunication of not being listened to, I do think sharing of the knowledge that's taking place right now with the people who are working will be very valuable for what you want to do.
And I agree 100% with that.
That's what I want to do.
So we can get some of your folks involved.
And we've talked about that too.
Yeah, I mean, really.
The top is kind of, I don't know much about it at all. And I know it's out there, but it would be nice to have your group present or...
Yeah, because we just went to an all-day training on Tuesday, and 60% is present, and the other 50% is going to come from you sitting at this table, and teachers working together.
Right.
50% is out of our control, but the other 50 is a collaboration, and I think we need to share that with you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, seeing now, you know, we want to bring some ideas, but it won't do us any good if we have these great ideas if it's something by law we just can't, you know, we can't do. So we know what. I mean, I agree with that. I mean,
I think that's a piece, and I think you start on Monday by letting the finance committee. We talk about the sequence of things.
Sure.
You know, I think that's probably. I'm not.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's a real sense of letting them do a lot of brainstorming around something that. There's nothing we can do with
that. And I'd be willing to bet the first thing you're going to say is we need some parameters. So, you know, I mean, it's...
And they're already given those to be set, and I think that needs to be shared with you.
Sure.
It might not be a bad idea to include some teachers, only because I know teachers, we know steps are going away. Nobody's, like, thinking that, like, steps are going to stick around.
I hope not.
Well, because, you know, I mean, everybody knows that. So I think, I mean, if anybody's thinking about possible, trying to think of creative ways that you could... work within the system of education where you don't actually produce anything that's worth monetary value while at the same time having to pay for it, which is a little different than the business structure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, but it just doesn't fit perfectly within the economic model. I think it can. I love the idea of getting, like, people outside the education. I just think it would be awesome to also have some teachers, because I know a lot of people who have had have come up with some pretty clever ideas just through conversations with teachers about how we could maybe merge that, like, merit thing along, you know, so
right,
it might be nice to include, like, a couple people.
Yeah, I think so. I think whatever group we set up, and I don't want to get too far in this, you might have an initial, let a group of them get together, get their bearings straight, then bring in some, you know, then kind of maybe, as they start to form some of their ideas, then bring in the teachers. Because at the end of the day, it has to be both groups, you know, coming to consensus on the solution, so.
I agree.
Okay.
That would be a good discussion. Is there anybody else? This is awesome idea. It's gone. All right, then I move that we move into executive session at 9:45. Move in a second, all possible. Yeah. Okay, we are in executive session.